Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come today once again before your throne on the basis and merit of your Son, Jesus. We recognize tonight, Lord, our position in all things. Our position by our fallen nature is not one that is good. We are not worthy to approach you. But because of your intercession through your Son, Jesus, we can have intimate fellowship with you, Father, through him tonight and the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you now, Lord, for all that came out tonight. I pray that this might be an evening that regenerates and recharges us as we look into the Word, gives us a challenge, but also, Lord, comfort in the sense that your Word governs the way that you would have us to operate. And, Lord, that you would help us tonight to make guideposts in our life of where we ought to be as we walk with you. So I'm thankful, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, we had to cancel today, but we know that your divine will intercedes on these things. And, Lord, we just acknowledge what an awesome and mighty God you are, that just a little skim of ice can stop the plans of mankind. So, Lord, we want to be in your perfect will. I pray tonight that you'll bless the preaching. Lord, there are still many people in our number that are suffering with illnesses, some, Lord, with spiritual ailments as well, and we continue to pray for our community around us. And, Lord, that you would just build and strengthen this church. We know that it is you that calls people to be saved and that builds your church. And we ask that you would use Fruitland in a mighty way in the days to come. Help us, Lord, to not be ones that are ready to lay down and quit, but those that are ready to stand and watch you deliver and operate in the way you will in the days to come. Now, Lord, may we be a blessing to you, and we ask that you would just be here and present with us tonight, Lord, where two or more are gathered, and that this evening might be something that would be profitable for all concerned. And I ask these things now in that wonderful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. By the way, if anyone has a favorite tonight, we'll take time to do that. Lonnie, you're headed up. Okay, sure. Yeah, we are going to have communion here later tonight, but I'm going to switch things around while you might consider a favorite, and we're going to sight read a song here in a minute too, but I want to go over a few announcements, okay, because we didn't have the service this morning. So let me just reinforce a few of these things that are found in your bulletins, just so you're not confused either, because there were no services last Sunday due to weather. You have the bulletin from last Sunday and an enclosure in today's for the events of this upcoming week, should the Lord tarry. So Monday evening at 6 o'clock is drama team, and you are certainly invited to that if you have not participated. That's open to everyone. I do have a favor to ask on Tuesday. Could we switch personal evangelism to the 13th? That would be this coming Thursday. Does anyone have a problem with that? I have a conflict again on Tuesday. But if not, you can come and meet and, you know, go out or do whatever you're led to do to reach out to people, work on those things. But could we switch that to Thursday at 7 o'clock? And I'll try to get a hold of some of the others that come out. But we invite you also to come out to that as well. January 23rd at 5 p.m. is a deacon meeting. The business meeting that we were supposed to have today, we will, Lord willing, hold next Sunday. And there's a few items on there, but the main item that we need to be announcing tonight is the fact that we need to do a constitutional change, and it's a very simple one, and it is illustrated in the minutes that I think are back on the table, but maybe are not. Maybe Deb didn't put those out yet. It's just a simple thing. Under paragraph D, under trustees, the limit of spending without authorization will be raised, if this is passed, from $100 to $300, okay, for an emergency repair. And you can look that over. That's what we're voting on. It does take a 75% majority to change the Constitution on that. I don't think it's going to be a big issue unless, you know, some of you want to make it one, but I don't think it is. Jeff?
For regular spending, the emergency repair will still stay.
Still at 1,000, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I said that incorrectly. The deacons already are authorized, well, I think, to do whatever they have to do if there's an emergency. But they come back and report if it's over 1,000. But if it's under 300 or under, then that will stand, and they have that authority to do that if it's granted in that. Also, Bible study, Iron Sharpens Iron for Men, January 22nd at 9 o'clock. This coming Saturday, Kim and I will be out of town from about 8 o'clock in the morning till late in the afternoon. So I just want you to know that. We have an obligation we need to attend in Central Iowa. Women's Bible Study meets on January 22nd again at 10 o'clock. And Wilton Bible Study's next meeting will be January 20th at 6 p.m. Also, there's a prayer advance up at Walnut Park on January 29th, I believe it is. And we need to know by the 26th. It's $15 a person to go to that. It's from 9 to 2 on that Saturday. You see my thought for the week there, and that's something to ponder. Is there anything else that I have neglected to announce that we have coming up in the weeks ahead here? Okay. Well, I hope and pray that we're all being challenged by the Lord in our daily walk with Him. Also, if you have an offering tonight, of course, the plates are on the back table. I'm very impressed tonight. I'm glad to see a nice number out. Please be careful out there tonight. There are some slick spots yet on the surfaces around the building, but if anyone needs a hand, I'm glad to lend one, okay? And we can fall together. Anything else? Okay, then how about that favorite at this time? Yes.
187.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord to me His word, hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. And when this flesh and heart shall fail, and mortal life shall cease, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Hymn written by John Newton. Anyone remember what his trade was? He was a slave trader, yep, and he was saved. It's a wonderful testimony there to what he's done. Now, if Kay will stay at the keyboard for just a little longer. Some of you, hopefully you got a handout that was on the stool. I had this given to me by someone a while back. I wondered if Kay would play through it once. We might try one verse. You don't want to try it?
No.
Okay. good. Let's give verse 1 a try tonight, and then we'll let it alone. But we may sing this. Again, we're always glad to look at new music and glad to experiment. Maybe Kay isn't quite this much on, but we'll forgive her in advance if it isn't perfect. But she does a good job. Here we go. Oh, how good it is when the family of God dwells together in spirit in the unity, where the bonds of peace, of acceptance and love are the fruits of His presence here among us. With one we'll sing to the Lord, and with one heart we'll live out His word till the whole of His people. Very good message in that song. We'll set that aside for tonight, but we'll work on that further. All right. Now, have I forgotten anything? Oh, we are recording this message tonight to put on the website, just so that you're aware of that. And of course, you know our Sunday evening services are more freewheeling, so you can ask questions tonight or give comments briefly about the subject that we're going to look at tonight. There seems like there was one other thing I wanted to mention, and I can't think what it is now. But maybe the Lord will bring that back to me here as we work through our time tonight. So tonight, if you have your device or your Bible, paper Bible, we're going to be using them. Amen? And no, I do not own stock in a Bible publishing company. But we're going to use them, because God's Word is just chock full of His goodness, His love, His warning, His admonitions. And I want to say this, I don't think that, and oh, I know what it was too. I thank Pastor Erickson for filling in that Sunday, and then of course church was canceled. I think he enjoyed it, we had a good discussion. He also is on the docket to preach his next message that he had. So he's got that pigeonholed for an appropriate time, and he is willing to come and speak again. And he enjoys it. And I've always invited him, come on down. Just like, what is that show again? Come on down. Price is Right. Yes, I don't watch daytime TV, obviously, but we're glad. And Kim and I did enjoy that message when we were in Colorado, and it was a joyous time. I did have a couple questions about our trip. the other thing I wanted to announce. Per a business meeting, adult Sunday school and Wednesday evenings will be in Fellowship Hall from now on. So if you come, this door will be open, so the ramp is accessible, but we will be meeting in the back. And that was per a congregational meeting, okay, that we had here a while back. We did listen, but we did when we were in Colorado, but we did enjoy our trip, and Kim doesn't have her phone with her tonight, but I have a few pictures. But thank you for allowing us to go on that. And I hope you enjoyed your vacation as well from us. Yeah. All right. Tonight, we're going to fold her up at quarter till for communion, all right? And I'm going to have a question. By the way, I shouldn't say all right, because that leaves the door open where you might want to argue about that. So we're going to quit at quarter to seven tonight and have our communion service. And I do have a question as I present that tonight for you, so just be thinking a little bit. I'm not going to tip you off, but I'd like to hear a few thoughts tonight from God's people as we look into that. The title of our message tonight is The Lost Doctrine of Separation. Maybe some of you have never heard of that term before, separation, but we're going to speak on that. The Bible has a lot to say about it. It is a doctrine that is left out in a lot of preaching today. And we're not going to leave it out here at Fruitland as long as I am here anyway. We're going to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. And like I said, if you get rid of me, I got enough padding. I can go right down those steps. And I'm going to keep on preaching the truth, right? Because that's why we're here. Yep. Isn't that the truth? Yep. So Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Father, may you bless our time in the Word. Give me the power, Lord, and the Holy Spirit vigor to speak this message for you. And I need his help, Lord, to anoint my lips for your service. Lord, this is a subject that is not popular today, but it is still in your Word. And I believe, Lord, it is important because you are jealous of your people. And you want us again, Lord, to walk in your paths and to represent you well. So help us, Lord. I admit to you right before we start, I struggle in some of these areas. But Lord, help us again to walk by the Word and to be different from what we see in our world today. Not for our own gain, but for yours, O Lord, that they'll see a difference and that we'll be salt and light. And we ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So good evening, friends. As I mentioned, I wrote this, of course, when I thought we were going to have a morning service. But as I mentioned this morning, if I would have been here, we will use Sunday nights. And what Sunday morning's message, and I'll preach that next week, Lord willing. But it was just an introduction of where I think things are at. And I'm really excited about the year 2022. Do we have challenges? Well, we've always had challenges. Every time we flip the calendar, every day that we go through, we're going to be faced with a challenge. I'm excited. I think there's some really good opportunities that God may allow us to do this year and how he may use us to reach people. And that's what I'm excited about. I'm not negative at all. And I'm not negative on Fruitland. I think Fruitland has some great potential in its community and the people that it serves. And I'm just so impressed tonight to see a group like this out on a night that we had an ice storm. But anyway, we're going to focus on some key doctrinal issues, which we never do depart from doctrine. Doctrine just means truth, but some issues that are really important that I think God wants us to focus on so that we are familiar with what his word has to say. So tonight, one of those that is what I call a lost doctrine, and that is the doctrine of separation in our modern current environment era. In most of our circles, and what I'm talking about here is even Bible-believing teaching churches. This is a doctrine that is not preached a lot because it's not popular. Because for, I'm going to say, not only most of us, but all of us, it puts some constraints from the Word on how we operate. And we live in a day when people don't want to be restrained. They want to have freedom to walk in the way that they want to walk. I want to tell you that's a dangerous position to be in. We live in a dangerous environment today. You know, when you look back, and I was going to be preaching about Israel in the morning, about it, specifically Jeremiah in the morning service. We'll hear that next week, Lord willing. But do you remember what the case was in Israel for quite a while before God began to discipline them heavily through being overrun by the Assyrians and the Babylonians? You remember what it was? Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Folks, I believe we live in that very type of an environment today, not only in America, but in our world. People have departed from the standards that Almighty God has set, just like Israel did. And folks, there's never a place that you can prove out that that turns out in a good way, because it doesn't. On the basis of the Bible, but also on the basis of just what you experience and I experience. When we walk apart from God, the results are what? They are not going to be good. If you're a believer, and I am a believer, and we're walking apart from God, God's going to restrain us. He's not going to let his lambs go so far. You know, he may let us have some times when we backslide, but he will want us to be in a perfectly close walk with him. Not that we're perfect, because we're not, but he'll want us to again be seeking him rather than the things of the world. Anyway, it's not preached a lot today, even in churches that claim to be Bible preaching churches or towards the label of a fundamentalist church. A fundamentalist church simply means a church that adheres and expounds the basics of the Bible. And that's what that is. Now I got to find where I stopped here in my notes. People struggle a lot, but I believe it's vital because it is scriptural, and there is danger to our walk with Christ if we don't follow it. And it is the doctrine that's known as separation. By the way, the Lord Jesus did not design the church to be an anything-goes institution. Can I hear an amen on that? He designed it with much structure and with much input, as he, again, illustrated to his apostles, and as the Holy Spirit delivered the scriptures, that the church would be a place of order, a place of a standard that set the pace for things. Pillar and ground of the truth. People need to be able to look to a Bible-believing teaching church and know that it will stand for what God would stand for. We don't see that very much, do we? Even Fruitland is not what it should be. No church is never what it should be. See? And we live in a culture that has moved away from Almighty God. Well, I'm going to give you an example tonight about separation before I begin to teach on it. And you already know this is going to be a two-week thing. So if anyone has problems, the doors are not locked. I'll give you an idea about separation, a little analogy. Some of us old-timers in here, Autumn, you're out on that. The Solaces are out because they're not from around here. Let's see, Dean, you're not from around here. There's a few. Some of you old people remember a grocery store on East 2nd Street. Rose is not here tonight. She was related. Pates's, Jeff, go ahead. Pates's Super Value. Why did a lot of Christians go to Pates's for their groceries back in the day? They were born-again believers. They had a profession of faith, but what about their store? Yes, they gave S&H green stamps and gold bond stamps. Some of you don't even know what those are. I've talked about that before. They were closed on Sunday, and they did not... What's that? They did not sell the juice. Okay? Now, I know someone's going to say, well, John, what do you think about all that? You know, you're going to hear some messages, or a message at least, about that very thing. I'm going to leave it at this for tonight. I don't believe alcohol or mind-altering substances, legal or illegal, are good things for a believer. There are better choices that we can make with what we do. Okay? And we'll explore that. But the point is, there were a lot of Christians in those days that heard from their churches about that. By the way, have you ever heard of an organization called WCTU? Women's Christian Temperance Union. Beulah Herline. I'm sorry that Bill and Teresa aren't here tonight. One of Bill's distant cousins, Beulah Herline, would come around every year in her 49 Ford. She called me Johnny. Johnny, could you afford to give $3.65 to the WCTU? One penny a day. It was called the Women's Christian Temperance Union. It was nominally a group that promoted not promoting alcohol. By the way, in many cases, it was the gals, it was mothers that paid a heavy price when men got on the juice. The abuse, the beatings. I told you the stories about my Grandma Robinson and her mother. You remember that? Jess DeLapp over at Conesville. He worked for the Milwaukee Railroad. He was drinking. He'd go to the bar. He'd buy everyone drinks. He'd throw his paychecks in the air, the money. And Grandma and my grandmother's mother, she said, we survived on lard gravy because there was no money in the home. Now, that still goes on a lot today, except we have what's called a social rescue net, the government, that steps in. But, folks, there's a lot of destruction that comes from that. Now, enough said about that, but why did Christians back in the day go to Pates's? You already gave me two reasons why. Because separation was preached in Bible-teaching churches. And they were showing why it was important that we do it God's way and that we separate away from the world and separate unto God. By the way, that's two of the key things about the doctrine of separation. It's separation from the world, and I'll delineate these in this message, and it's separation unto God. And that's why people went there. Now, just so you know about this, and by the way, today, you tell me a store that you can go to unless it's at Kelowna to buy your groceries. Every gas station, every grocery store. Aldi's didn't have it for years, but they succumbed to it too. You know, let me just say this. Years and years ago, Kim and I had considered putting a convenience store out on our corner, out on the junction of Highway 38 and 6. You know why we didn't do that? Two reasons. First of all, we didn't have the money and it required a lot. But second of all, and this is true, and you check me out on this, you know how convenience stores stay open? It's not by the gas that they sell. Most convenience stores make 2 to 3 cents a gallon on gas, but they make considerably more per gallon on alcohol and other issues that they sell. That is their biggest seller. And for Kim and I to have put a store out there, we would not have done that, and therefore we did not do the store, but that's how you make your money. Now, the deal with separation. What we find today in the churches is what? I don't want to say anything that might cause someone to what? To get upset. Well, yeah, to stumble, but they don't want to say anything because why? They're afraid that people are what? They're going to get angry. Because let's face it, folks, what people want to do in our current environment, because the churches haven't stood for this, is they want to be able to have everything the way they want it. They don't want to be different from the world. People see old Pastor John here, you know, and they say, he's a little different. I hope I am. I hope you are too, about some things. By the way, that doesn't mean you have to be a weirdo. But what it is that the Lord wants you to what? Stand for him. Let me tell you, he stood for us. He went to the cross for us. These doctrines have a relevance in our lives. It is not the only doctrine. And you know me well enough by now, after all these years, I'm not going to be in here preaching on all these things over and over and over every day. Some of the fundamentalist type churches have done that through the years. The Bible has a lot more in it, but this is there too. Separation. Anyway, to finish the story before we run out of time, what happened to Pates's? Well, before it was all said and done, they built that extra addition on the east side by the creek. By the way, it just was torn down this last year. Jason, Sandra, Home and I's bought it. But by the creek on 2nd Street on the north side, that's where it stood. They built the addition on the thing, and guess what came after they built the addition? They began to sell alcohol. Yeah. And that changed because the culture began to change. And so it's not like it is today, folks. It wasn't like it is today everywhere. Thank God, though, for places like Hobby Lobby, like Fairway, that still have at least some respect. Chick-fil-A, others, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And though they may not be separated in the ways that we had grown up with, some of us older ones, they still at least make a difference. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be a peculiar people. Not weirdos, peculiar. Okay? Who does, Dean? Yes, they do. Yeah, I didn't say that they didn't. Well, next time I'm in there, I'll take a look.
Well, I'm just thinking, I know they sell wine, but
yeah.
You know, wine is a controversial, you know, it's like a...
All these things can be controversial, and we will cover that in a message. But all I'm saying is, my stance on that is that I think it is a thing that is very dangerous. And from my opinion, what I see in Scripture, I think it is not a wise thing for Christians to be involved in. Yeah, yeah. And speaking of Colorado, I'm always going to preach close to the mountain rather than out by the cliff.
Well, while you're away in Colorado, make sure you're not breathing too close to people that are smoking, because they're probably not smoking cigarettes.
Well, Dean, I took a real careful stance on that, and I protected Kim from any smoke.
Well, that's good.
Actually, there was none, but there was fire.
Because they do a lot of weed smoke.
I know what you're getting at. We were up on the mountain. And that night, I just have to share this. I got you, Jason. I'm getting to you. But Kim has always had this idealistic vision, and the Lord delivered it. It snowed every day. It was bitter cold. There was no one up on the mountain that night in the dark. The winds came up, and they were going to send us back. There was only one guy playing there that night, some music. We were the only people there. He loved it. But they had hand warmers, hot chocolate, s'mores. This is just Kim in deep snow. Oh, Kim. It was just idealistic. Anyway, Yeah, Jason, go ahead before I get in trouble.
Well, I just want to mention, I think we need to be careful when we're talking about things like this, and I think that you're trying to be. But we don't want to become legalistic.
No.
And, you know, it's not a sin to have a drink. It is a sin to be drunk.
That's correct.
You know, and I think that, you know, obviously you want to preach, stay as far away from
yep.
the gospel, but we also want to delineate the fact that it is not a sin to drink. Now, should a Christian sell alcohol? I don't think that's a very good idea.
Well, when we talk about legalism, when we begin to do that, even that statement could be legalistic. Okay? And but here's what governs all this in Scripture. It's found in Romans 14. If you have determined in through God's Word that something is a sin for you, it is a sin if you do it. Okay? Through the reading of Scripture. Everyone may see it differently, but I always want to challenge us to think in a way that is going to be closer to the mountain than to be out by the cliff, okay? Because we know that many of these things can get started with one event, and the destruction that can flow out of that can be very dangerous, okay? So I understand what you're saying, Jason, and I think this is an issue that we all must discern, but I have to say that this is how I would approach that. And in case you wondered, Kim and I do not drink. We do occasionally have water. And occasionally, a Diet Coke and things like that. But we do not. So if you wonder, put the rumors to rest. Even though John's a little wacko, he's not been drinking the juice. All right, we better get started because it's time to quit. I found in my life that's how it goes all the time. But I see Doug scratching his head, so he's got something to say.
Well,
yep.
And there were two of us waiting on her, you know.
Yep.
Yes. And she had, like, she didn't have a guilt complex at all. And she wasn't buying the small one. She was buying the one out of the display case.
Yep.
About four different categories. So, not being judgmental, but, you know, this whole culture, like you say, culture is the key word.
Yeah.
This thinking and this bent towards alcohol, lottery tickets, so gambling.
Yep. Sports betting is now legal. Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. I think you're very correct on that. By the way, let me just say this. Kim and I have done a couple of lottery tickets before. I saw Denny's mouth drop back there, the deacon. They were given to us, and we opened them, and they didn't win. But what I always say in the store is when, you know, people are buying them in front of me, I said, I won big time. I never played. So, anyway, these are all things to discern, but, you know, we always have to think about that. Let me just say this. All these issues are important to God because the resources that He gives us are what is at stake and how we handle them. And I'm the first one to have my hand raised. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. And I'm still struggling with things. You know, I have my issues too, just like everyone else in here does tonight, right?
Yep.
Well, and I do. And no, not those, but, well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. You know, I used to belong to the Hereford Association. I get a Red Power magazine. I share it, though, so I think the Lord will approve of that. You get what I'm talking about, though. We all have those areas. It's for us to discern. All right. Do we want to get down the road, or we got 5 minutes to get this whole message done? It ain't going to happen. Denny's looking at me over his glasses. I think this might be the third letter in the file coming. No, people get mad when I say that, but let's have some fun. God doesn't want us to be a bunch of fuddy-duddies. Get out there and get engaged in the culture, you know. Some of the things that the Lord said, all the things the Lord say will make a difference. People hear them, the Spirit can use them, right? Denny, now you're laughing. It must be okay then. Okay. Well, there's two categories. Well, there's actually three. I'm like Hank Kimball on Green Acres. three categories of separation we're going to look at through this study. The first is personal separation, and that's where we're going to start tonight. Personal separation. I didn't make you up a sheet or put it up, but you can all write. The second is ecclesiastical separation. That means churches and how we fellowship with others. And the third thing is the separation of church and state. So those are the areas that we're going to cover. So tonight, in our whole 5 minutes that I plundered, and may the Lord forgive me, there are four categories that we're going to look at under personal separation. And so we're going to go through some verses here and do some exercise. But the first one is the Bible calls us to be personally separated from sin and the world, in quotation marks. By the way, define the world. Yeah. It's the system that exists at the behest of Satan in our world, okay? The opposition to God, okay, in a fallen, broken world. And then from unbelievers, okay? So that's our first category. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 24. We're going to book it through here. If you have something to say or a question, bring it up. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 24. Here again, the Apostle Paul teaching at the church of Thessalonica. Take a look at what he says here. Paul said, and you could, you know, we could look at the whole Bible, but I'm just giving you snippets, snapshots out of the scriptures here. Paul says to the Thessalonians, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Okay, so this is a basis right here, again, that God wants us to be involved in what? Good things. He goes on, and this is a verse, my mom quoted this a lot. 22, abstain from what? Most appearances of evil. All appearances of evil. It doesn't just say to abstain from evil, but it says to abstain from what? The appearance of evil. Can anyone give me an example where there could be something that's misconstrued? Well, I'll tell you how crazy I am. I like, you know, I'm not quite as far as Kojak. And I got in trouble one time here for a message. That lady is now with the Lord, but she condemned me for talking about Kojak one time in a service. Remember Telly Savalas, the shaved head? Remember what Telly always had in his mouth, Dean? Yeah, Tootsie Pop. I had someone one time think that I had a cigarette in my mouth when I had a Tootsie Pop. See? Now, does that mean I don't use Tootsie Pops anymore? No, I still use them. I don't, well, with diabetes, it's a rarity. But the point I'm making is, and that's a thing that's a little far out, but you know, what we do, sometimes people construe as something that's not the truth. And because of the cause of Christ, we need to be a little cautious about how we operate. Again, I'm not debating about smoking tonight or anything else, okay, because we have some that are involved with that and working through that. But the point is, abstain from all appearance of evil, okay? There might be choices that I could make that would be better for the cause of Christ than the ones I would make otherwise. And I think that applies to all of us as believers, right? Okay. And the very God, verse 23, of peace, sanctify you wholly. You see, God has called us to be set apart. And that is the process. It's called progressive sanctification. Sanctification just means set apart. And that is the process that God has each and every one of us on as new believers and as believers that have been around a while. It's not a straight line. It could be, but it likely will not be. But it's a graph that points how? Upwards rather than downwards after we've been saved. That's something that we could all take some time on, is plotting our lives before the Lord. And I admit to you tonight, I have some downward trends in my life. And even today, ones that I'm struggling with. Am I the only one? Sure, hang me out to dry. He says, may the very God of peace separate you or sanctify you. And did you notice the next word there? In the King James, it's the word holy. Not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y. let me see if I can read my scratch in here. Legitimately identified would be the rendering you would get from the original language for that word. Legitimately identified. I think there's a lot of people that may be born again believers running around today and have always been. It's not just today. But they are not totally sold out. They are not on a path to be legitimately identified with Christ. What do you think about that? But that's what God wants, because he said that here through the hand of Paul. That may the God of peace sanctify you wholly, all in. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body. By the way, Paul was a trichotomist. He believed that we were made up of three parts, blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you throw in 24 there. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. God wants us to be set apart for him. He wants us to be separated unto him and away from the opposite side of things, from the world and the ways of death and Satan. Well, our time's up. Isn't that a shame? Dean, you're staring me down about that.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the rest of this message.
Next Sunday night, Lord willing. But it's there if you want to look in the book. We're going to go to communion, but we're going to look through some of these references. But I want you to think about a guy that really stands out as a guy who practiced personal separation from this very issue. And remember, this is the first of four subpoints. A guy named Daniel. I want you this week to look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel was a separatist. And that's what the Bible calls us to be. Daniel stood against the ways of the world, and he stood for the Lord. That's what God wants from us. Now, one question, then we're going to go to communion. Time's run out on us again. Are you excited to hear what God's word has to say about all this? I am. I think it's good stuff. I know it is. And it's something that's lost in our current environment. One comment, and then we're going. Anyone have one? Kimmy. Nope. You're compromised, and you'll never have peace unless you're separated unto the Lord. I was going to use the illustration that fits perfectly with today. Twice in my career, I had baskets of feed on my shoulder. In later days, one bushel when I was young and very...
strong.
Yeah, two bushel baskets of feed to feed the cattle. Try climbing across a wood fence in an ice storm and having your feet slip. We'll leave it at that for tonight. But that's what happens when we're not on the page with God. And that's what we'll learn here as we look through the scriptures. Deacons, come on up. Now, I had a question for you about this, right? Right? I got to look and see what it was now. Oh, I want to hear a couple comments on this or more. Why do you think Jesus said, this do? He was talking about two things that are the only things you'll find in Scripture that are direct commands. One of them is the Lord's Supper, communion. He said, this do in remembrance of me. The other one is water baptism. And let me ask you if anyone has a thought why you think he said that. So the floor is open. Very good answer, Autumn. But why do you suppose he delineated those two things? Have you ever... Jason.
I think he wants us to remind each other of why we're gathering together and why we're doing all this stuff, so that we don't forget.
It's exactly right. And you know, communion points to what? Christ and the cross. Water baptism points to Christ and the cross. His death, burial, and his resurrection. There it is, folks. This is important. I'm so impressed that we have a nice group out tonight for this. Usually we don't. It's very important. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 11 is the text I'm going to use tonight. It's the last revelation that was given about the Lord's Supper. And it was given to Paul, and he revealed this to the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church was a rough bunch. You know, they were struggling. But God loved them, right? He loves us. So tonight, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And let me just say this, what Paul said in this writing, he says basically this is a time of introspection, that this is an important thing that the Lord has ordained, and he wants us to be careful that we don't tread on what he did on that cross. He wants us to examine ourselves. And the best thing we can do is these elements are passed out, which represent his body and his blood, his sinless body and his sinless blood, is to consider how we're going to receive them. And if it's something that we cannot make right, we can confess those things even tonight as these are passed out. Paul says it's a better thing to what? To not tread on what Jesus did. Because he said, you know what? There's some people at Corinth that lost their lives. They were called home early because they trampled on Jesus. We got to understand Jesus. And what he says is important. So tonight, I'm going to ask Denny, and I love him. Known him a long time. Once in a while, we'll give each other a hug. Show him how much I love him.
What's Jesus say?
Feed your sheep.
He says, show me.
Show me, yep. Anyway, I got to get turned here to 1 Corinthians 11. Go ahead, Denny. You know what it says. 1 Corinthians 11. Here we go. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and Paul recounts that, what we find in some of the Gospels. He says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. I'm going to ask Denny to thank our Heavenly Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for his body, his sinless body that came and bore our sins on Calvary. Denny.
And Father, we come to you again. Lord, thank you again for the day set aside for you to remember what you've done for us. Tonight, Lord, we thank you that we can be joyful, but yet may we become serious too, Lord, for this reminder, Lord, of what you've done for us. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord, and again for what Christ did. Took our suffering, Lord, from us to put upon your Son, Lord, and also to go along with that, Lord, as I was coming down tonight, Lord, I heard on the news disaster there in New York, where a fire had taken place, Lord, where thus far it has taken 19 hours.
Wow.
Lord, may we have the Spirit, Lord, to open our hearts, Lord, to those that don't know you, Lord. And we thank you that that there's still room for one more, Lord.
And yeah.
Lord, help us to receive the compassion, Lord, that you've shown us to show up on others, Lord, that need you, Lord. So I thank you again for this gathering, Lord, to come together as a family, and may we look forward to, as we go into this new year, to see things change, Lord. May we, each one of us, ask you to change us, Lord. Change me, Lord, for you know, Lord, my sins are many, Lord, and so help me. We all need help. In Jesus' name.
Amen. everyone successfully opened their wafers. Anyway, what we're about to partake of here is a symbol. It's a reminder, an icon of what Christ did for us in his body. It does not save us. It represents Jesus who saves us. Well, here's what Paul wrote. He said, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it," that being Jesus, "he broke it," symbolizing his broken body, "and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" And just as Jesus said here, "that mine is broken." Okay. There we go. "In like manner, he also took the cup." Lonnie, I'm going to give you a hug too. I assure you it's COVID-free. Thank you, Lonnie, for loving the Lord. I'm going to ask you for the privilege, Lord, Lonnie, of thanking the Lord for his shed blood. By the way, why is the blood important? Blood, the life is in the blood, and there is no remittance of sin without the shedding of blood. And Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. His perfect blood is the only thing, the one and only thing, that can supersede and cover my dirty blood and your dirty blood in the eyes of God. Lonnie, would you thank him?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for getting us here tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we had to call on you this morning, Lord. I know it didn't feel right, Lord, but yet there's common sense that you give us, Lord, to use and to make that decision. But, Lord, we're here tonight. Thank you for that. Thank you for this opportunity to look back on what our Savior did for us, Lord. First of all, dear Father, thank you for giving him to us. Thank you that he accepted and became sin for us, sacrifice
yes.
for us, Lord. And Lord, he shed his pure, innocent blood for the sins of the world, Lord. Not just us here, but all, Lord. All that accept him. Lord, thank you that could pretty much say everybody in this room has accepted you, Lord. Thank you so much for that. That we know the cleansing blood and how it makes people right, Lord. It makes us righteous, makes us love, and makes us love you, Lord, for what you did for us. Help us to always remember, Lord, what you did for us, and especially tonight as we partake in Jesus' name.
Amen. Just one word that I forgot to usually, that I usually introduce into this. Tonight, if there would be someone here that's not saved, pass this by, but receive Jesus. He loves you. Place your faith and trust in him and have your sins forgiven. That's what his will is for us tonight as well, if there'd be one here that does not know him. So with that said, and thank you, Lonnie, after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." I always get excited about these nights. I always get excited when we gather as the church, even in our frailties and whatever other hindrances we have. What you've just been through tonight is dress rehearsal for heaven. If you know Jesus Christ, we're going to have sweet fellowship with him there. By the way, this service will be abolished here on earth when we're with him in heaven. Because we're going to have a real blowout of a supper. It's called the marriage supper of the Lamb when we're all gathered there. And we're going to be in his very presence. And that's going to be all the people that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's a wonderful time. The disciples sang with Jesus in the upper room when they had these times of fellowship. Let's gather in the center aisle. Tonight, if you're in fellowship with the Lord and one another here tonight, we're going to sing "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds." How you doing, Denny? Yeah. Good to see you, Dean. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Let's recite the Lord's Prayer as it's found in Matthew 6. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. May the Lord bless and keep you. Have a safe trip home tonight till we meet again. Good evening. Good to see you, Dean. How you doing? Good. How's your mom? I was wondering.